The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience. Yet I am not thereby justified, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore pass no judgment before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and make manifest the counsel of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea and Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, Philip, his brother, Tetrarch of the district of Aturiae at Trachonitis, Lysanias, Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice crying in the desert, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough way smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently, I was in a discussion with someone who had worked for Caltrans. He had worked his whole life for Caltrans, California Transportation Department, working on the roads, working on actually the freeways here in Southern California. And when you think about the freeways, they're really incredible. We have these great roads, and especially the interchanges. When you think of the interchanges, when you're on one, you know, you're able to go up over on the bridge and cross three lanes of traffic or seven lanes of traffic and go right down where you need to go. Or if you go under a bridge on an interchange, it's really interesting, especially the high ones. You have this tall pillar of concrete, and then you have the decking of the bridge, and then you have another pillar of concrete. And it's really amazing, especially when you think that those interchanges, those bridges and roads are designed for an earthquake, whatever it is, 7.5 on the Richter scale. I don't know exactly what it is. And you know, some of the men have spent, or I shouldn't say men, some of the people spend years working on maybe a particular project. San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge, as you know, had to be rebuilt after the Northridge earthquake in 1989. They realized there was a design error in it, and so the bridge had to be rebuilt. It just opened recently, and it took 24 years to do that. The old bridge was found inadequate, and they had to rebuild a new bridge. If you go out I-8 to the east of San Diego, and as it goes down into the Central Valley towards El Centro, the Imperial Valley, the highway goes down this little, what was originally a little valley, but it was too narrow for the highway. So the one side is a mountain that is granite. It looks like giant rocks of granite. It looks like someone just stacked up these giant boulders, and they had to cut the granite. One of the hardest stones, they cut it so that you can have the highway going down to El Centro. And the benefit of that is that we can drive, you know, we can be out in the desert in about 45 minutes. What 100 years ago was a two-day journey, probably. You know, there's the old Butterfield stagecoach lines that ran down here, and there's still the old wagon trails out in the desert. And it probably took them two or maybe even 3 days to cover that distance in the late 1800s. And of course, after that, a more improved road was put in. It still probably took a good day to drive. And then, recently in the past 50 years, the interstate went in, and now we can do it in 45 minutes. What was a pretty arduous journey, even within a lifetime ago. Now, in today's gospel, St. John the Baptist is in the desert. He is preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, it's important for us to remember that what he is preaching, St. John the Baptist's baptism, is not the sacrament of baptism. It is a precursor to it. The person comes and does baptism as a personal statement of a repentance against their sins, that they are changing their way, and then the baptism is a symbol of that. However, does not have the power of the sacrament. Later on, Christ's baptism is then, the baptism he establishes, is then similar to John's. The person comes, an adult, would come with a spirit of repentance, and they would be baptized, but then God would give the graces of forgiveness and additional graces to the person so that they could be holy. Now, this repentance is part of the spirit that we have here in Lent. I'm sorry, in Advent. I always get that confused for some reason. In Advent, that part of it is we repent. We turn away from the things that separate us from Christ. But also in general, it's not just a turning away from sin, but it's a turning towards God. That it's not just repenting from our sins, but putting Christ first. We are supposed to be looking at our life and not just seeing the sins that we put before God, between God and ourselves, but also, how can I make God, make Christ more present, more important in my life? I preached about this three weeks ago on the first Sunday of Advent. We're supposed to look in our hearts and say, you know, something might be just a neutral action. It might not be sinful. It might not even be an imperfection. And yet we could make a better use of that time for our spiritual life. This is what we're supposed to do during this season. And because it's what we're supposed to do during this season, there are special graces for us to accomplish that. But it is more effective to do it here, this time. And Christmas is coming. It's almost here. Advent's almost over. But we should be striving to do this now. You know, I find it disheartening that after so many years, I've preached about the rosary, and yet I find it disheartening that there are still people and families who aren't taking the time to pray every day, especially the rosary. You know, I talk about the rosary, but also just the very fact of prayer. Everyone should be doing 30 minutes of prayer every day. If you can't find the time to do 30 minutes, something is wrong. You need to find the time. And one of the best prayers is the rosary. If you don't want to do the rosary, you know, there are other prayers, there's Stations of the Cross, time before the Blessed Sacrament, reading the scriptures meditatively. But the rosary is a very powerful prayer. At the end of the day, after the evening meal, when the chores are done, when the dishes are done, then the family should come together with the children who are old enough to understand and pray the rosary. Remember, it's not only what we pray, but also where we pray. Praying there in the home sanctifies the home. And it's important to do this. It's more important to at least get 30 minutes of any kind of prayer in, but the rosary should be an integral part of that. What can we do to make Christ more present in our lives? What are we doing? You know, in the epistle, St. Paul talks about, I have nothing on my conscience. You know, because there were different factions in Corinth at the time, and some people were accusing St. Paul of something, we're not sure exactly what. And he says, you know, I don't care what you think. My conscience is clean. The only one I have to worry about is Christ, the judge. But I don't see anything on my conscience. And this is what we should ask ourselves. Is there something that maybe it's not sinful, but maybe we could be doing better? We could be spending more time. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us a little call, a little inspiration. And And are we faithful to those? Gee, you could do your rosary now, or you could spend a few moments here, shut the TV off, spend a little time in prayer. This is what we should be thinking about here, even though it's so close to Christmas. This is what we should be doing. But then, in a similar way, we can look at those words of St. Paul, and rather than applying them to ourselves interiorly, we can look at the other person. I preached about this then 2 weeks ago, about how we should look at our relations, our friendships that we have, the other person, and we should be thinking about them and giving them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe their conscience is clean or clear, and whatever might be disrupting our friendship or our relationship, maybe they are unaware of it. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt and try to repair that friendship here during this season of Advent. You know, our Lord speaks about heaven. Heaven is a wedding banquet where all come together in the joy of a celebration, and we renew those old friendships. Think about like a wedding banquet where you're at a reception. You see old friends that you haven't seen in years, and you laugh about the good times. And you know, honestly, the majority of the times, the bad times are forgotten. In heaven, that's what it will be like, except the bad times will be completely gone. We'll just be friends together, old friends together, joyfully with Christ together. And in this life, we should strive for that. That friendship between people, we should try to repair. Siblings are friends that God has chosen. That your brothers and sisters are the friends that God chose for you. We need to strive to overcome any tension that would be there. Parents and children also, there's a type of friendship there, both ways. Extended family, should be a natural friendship there. And we need to then look and to think whether we should strive to overcome some defect that has arisen. Be it a sin, maybe I just don't like that person, maybe they don't like me, but we should try to overlook those things. Bury the hatchet if we have an old feud. You know, try to ask for forgiveness. Not try, but do ask for forgiveness, especially if we're the cause of it. If the other person doesn't want to reestablish, maybe there's something there. Maybe the damage is so deep that they don't want to turn and repair the friendship. Want to reciprocate the charity. Then that's on them. Our heart should be open and ready to forgive. Christ is ever ready to forgive everyone. If anyone turns to Him with repentance, repentance as though what John the Baptist preached, He is ever ready to forgive them. And that is how we should be. So even if someone doesn't reciprocate, we should have that in our hearts. This is the spirit of Advent. Overcoming past adversities outside of ourselves, to have friends, husband and wife, children, spouses, extended family, and anyone who God places in our lives. But also interiorly, what can I do to make Christ more present in my life? St. Ignatius of Loyola used to say, Christ died for you. What have you ever done for Christ? What have you done for Him? What are you doing for Him? What will you do? And I should say that this spirit of Advent is for everyone. There is nobody in this room. There is nobody who cannot make an improvement in their interior life and between people with your relations, with your charity. There is nobody, and that's the priest included, that we have to do this. And of course, we're held to a higher standard than others. Now, in the Gospel, St. John goes on, St. John the Baptist goes on. What does he say? He says, make ready the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways will be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see the salvation of God. This is an image he takes from Isaiah, and he repeats it here. Make ready the way of the Lord. What is the way? The road. Smooth out the road. Straighten it. Cut away the mountain. You know, here in our modern society, we do that a lot. I talked about the highways, the freeways, the interstates, about cutting through solid granite to make the road level. Why? So we can go out to the desert in 45 minutes. The interchanges by which we can cross over to get where we need to go on a bridge that is designed to survive an earthquake. And when error was found in some of these structures, then what did we do? We had to tear them down and rebuild them, like the Bay Bridge in Oakland and some of these interchanges. Men spend their entire, shouldn't say men, people spend their entire working careers, maybe working on a single bridge or a single interchange. Why? So that the way could be made smooth for you and I in our cars. Well, St. John the Baptist is preaching this, but not for us, but it is to be made straight for Christ. And the road that he's speaking about is not one that we travel on, but is one that Christ travels on to us. And the amount of time and the amount of effort and the amount of labor we put in our spiritual life makes that way for Christ smoother for him. And we can think it's not so much that he'll come more quickly, but he comes more fully. The easier the way is, the more fuller he comes into our life. We can't make Christ come to us. He's God. The only thing we can do is to try to make the way easy for him, smooth and straight. To fill the valley, to cut the mountain, to make the road straight. And we do this by truly looking at our lives, by making the effort to make changes in our lives. And it is hard to make the effort to really try to reestablish the friendships and the charity within our family and without our family, outside of our family. This is what we're supposed to do during this season. And the more effort we put into it, the more effort we strive, the easier the way is, and the more fuller, if that's a word, Christ comes into our life. Christmas is coming. Our Lord is coming. This is what we're supposed to do in Advent. What have we done for Christ? What are we doing for him? What will we do? We have to make the way straight for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.